Cleft Stick, a play for radio by R.D. Wingfield.
New paragraph.
I have spoken to our quality control about your complaint and can assure you that the balance of your order will be fully up to specification, full stop. Yours sincerely, Managing Director. Next letter. Is that you, Joan?
Good Lord.
John. Oh, John.
What's the matter? What's happened? All right, easy, easy. Yes. Come on, drink this. Go on, all of it.
Thank you.
Now sit down and tell me what happened.
I didn't leave Mother's until gone 10 o'clock. As it was late, I took the shortcut through the woods.
At this time of night?
I know.
Oh, darling, the times I've told you. Well, what happened? What happened?
A man attacked me. He jumped at me from the bushes. He tried to strangle me. What are you doing?
I'm calling the police. Then I'm going out to look for him. What was he like?
John! He's dead.
What did you say?
Emergency, what service please?
He's dead, fire, John. Ambulance. I killed him.
Emergency, what service please?
I had your gun. He tried to strangle me. I shot him.
What were you doing with my gun?
I've been taking it with me when I go out at night. I've sensed there was someone lurking in the woods following me.
The same man?
I don't know, I suppose.
Why the hell haven't you told me before?
You'd have stopped me going out.
You bet I would.
I had to see Mother was all right. She shouldn't be left.
Tell me exactly what happened tonight.
I was late. I took the shortcut. I just passed that old oak when he suddenly jumped out of the bushes. I couldn't run. I had my back against the tree. I pleaded with him, but he just came on laughing, his hands going for my throat. I shot him. Doris, I shot him.
Well, perhaps he's not dead. Perhaps you're only wounded.
No, his eyes were wide open, staring.
Darling, we'll have to call the police.
No!
Joan, we must.
I couldn't stand it. The question's a scandal.
Scandal? Well, what have we got to hide?
It would all come out in court.
What would?
Where I'd been. Where I'd been going these past nights. My mother isn't ill, John.
But
I've been seeing another man.
I see. Well, who is he? Anyone I know?
Oh, it's all over now, John. It doesn't matter who it was. What's that noise?
It's my dictation machine, the end of the tape. I thought I'd switched it off. I suspected there'd been someone else. Who is it?
It's all over now, John. I promise you. I told him so tonight. Please don't call the police.
Did anyone see you in the woods?
No.
Now, are you sure it's important?
No one saw me.
And it happened well away from the main path?
Yes.
So, with luck, it could be days before anyone finds him.
John!
Oh, what is it?
Your hand. There's blood on your hand.
Where did that come from? Your gloves. Oh. It's all over your gloves.
Where? Must be his blood. Oh no!
It's all right, all right. Now, don't panic. It doesn't seem to be anywhere else. Just the gloves. No, don't touch them. Just hold out your hands. I'll take them off. Well, the best place for them is straight into the fire. Well, lucky we noticed.
You're not going to tell the police.
This man, your lover... No, I don't want to know his name. It's definitely all over.
Yes.
All right. And if no one saw you in the woods, there's no possible way the police could link you with the body. You'd better let me have the gun.
In my handbag.
It's not here.
It must be.
It's not. In your coat, the pocket.
No.
In Where is it?
I can't think.
Look, that gun's registered with the police. If they find it...
I remember I dropped it.
Where?
When I realized he was dead, I dropped the gun and ran and ran and ran.
Where did you drop it?
Oh, not far from the body.
We'd better go and look for it.
I couldn't.
All right, all right. Now don't upset yourself. I'll go on my own. That's all right. Now, tell me exactly where it happened.
Conrad, sorry.
Darling, just tell me where it happened.
Well, you know that little clearing? The one past that big oak tree?
Must be somewhere near here. What was that? It's just getting jumpy. Oh, this is the clearing, but where... Oh, there he is. My God, he's dead, all right.
Looking for something?
Hold it there, if you don't mind. You're hurting my arm.
Won't be for long. We've got a visitor.
Well, well, well.
Who are you?
As you asked first, we're police officers. I'm Detective Superintendent Bishop. The gentleman holding your arm is Detective Sergeant Jennings. I suppose he was blackmailing you.
Who?
The dead man.
I've never seen him before.
Oh, forgive me, sir. I jumped to conclusions. What are you doing here?
I'm just walking.
Of course, sir, of course. Beautiful spot for a walk, the woods. Mind you, you don't see it at its best at 1 o'clock in the morning. Do you often come this way?
Yes.
Oh, you can let go of the gentleman's arm, Jennings. I like your suit, sir.
My suit?
Very elegant. How many of them do you get through a week? You've ruined that one, forcing your way through the bushes.
I missed the path.
Of course, easy thing to do if you don't know the way, although you said you often came here. His name's Bryant.
Bryant?
The dead man. Nasty piece of work, sir. It does you credit that you don't know him. We're not so lucky. We know him, don't we, Jennings?
Yes, sir.
Off the record, whoever killed him deserves our heartfelt thanks. It wasn't you by any chance, was it, sir?
No.
Of course not. You've never seen him before. I don't think we asked you your name, sir.
Marlowe, John Marlowe. I live at Dell Cottage, just north of here.
Jot it down, will you, Sergeant? You know what my memory's like.
I see.
So you don't know him, and you didn't shoot him, Mr. Marlowe. Oh, pity. I was hoping we'd wrap this one up without too much trouble. I did tell you he was shot, didn't I?
No.
No, it must have been the other fellow. Yes, he was shot. Point blank range. Died instantly. Too good for him, really. A bit late for a walk, isn't it, sir?
I don't sleep too well. A walk helps.
Oh, now, there's a coincidence, Sergeant. That's what the other fellow said.
What other fellow?
The chap who found the body. What was his name, Jennings?
Weber, sir.
Ah, that's right, Weber. You must know him, sir.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, thought you might have bumped into each other during your nocturnal wanderings. Have you got a dog, Mr. Marlowe?
No.
Weber's dog found the body. Ah, that must be our reinforcement, Sergeant. Do the honors, would you?
Right you are, sir.
I want a thorough search. We've got to find that gun.
Yes, sir.
Killers usually conform to a pattern, Mr. Marlowe. They chuck the murder weapon away at the first opportunity. We'll have one hell of a job finding it in these woods, though. Too many hiding places. You wouldn't have a gun by any chance, would you, sir?
As a matter of fact, yes, I have.
Good Lord. And I wasn't even going to ask you. Where is this gun, sir?
At home.
Oh, naturally, it's licensed.
Naturally. I'm secretary of the Beckley Rifle Club.
Ah, I remember you now, sir. Saw you shoot at Bisley last year. We had a police team there. I reckon we could have a look at this gun, sir.
Well, it might be difficult.
Why is that?
I was looking for it only the other day. It seems to be missing.
Missing? You reported this to our people, of course.
No.
Oh, pity. You should have done, you know.
Oh, it'll turn up. It's about somewhere.
Yes, yes, of course it is. Now, don't you worry any more about it, sir. I'll send some of my men down to your place to help you search. In these days of high prices, you don't want to lose it. I wonder if Weber has a gun. I forgot to ask him. Some people have rotten luck, don't they?
Rotten luck?
Well, like you, suffering from insomnia and mislaying a valuable gun. I've never lost a gun in my life. And the murderer, he had rotten luck too. I mean, look at this place. Miles off the beaten track, as remote as you could wish for. He must have expected the body would remain undiscovered for weeks. And yet within half an hour of each other, you and this chap Weber, with his rotten dog, trip over it while it's still warm. Oh, I told you his dog found it, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
There are some dogs you can take to, but not that one. You'll give us a written statement, won't you, sir?
Well, yes, of course.
No need for a special journey. Perhaps you could do it now.
Now?
Well, it won't take more than a couple of minutes to run you down to the station.
But it's late. My wife will be worried.
Well, she must be used to you being out late by now, sir. These walks for your insomnia.
Yes, I know, but we'll be buried.
If it'll make you feel any happier, you can phone from the station.
Is this absolutely necessary, Superintendent? I know nothing about this business.
Just as important to eliminate the innocent as to track down the guilty, Mr. Marlowe. I must ask Weber if he's got a gun, and if he's got a license for that terrible dog. Jennings?
Yes, sir.
Found it yet?
Not yet, sir.
Well, keep trying. You have my permission not to spare yourselves. I'm off to the station with Mr. Marlowe. I'll use your car. When your men have found the gun, perhaps they can lend a hand getting mine out of the ditch. These country lanes, Mr. Marlowe.
Look, how much longer have I got to wait?
I think he's coming now, sir.
Here I am, Mr. Marlowe. My, doesn't time fly when you're busy.
I've been here over an hour, Superintendent.
I am sorry, but it's chaos out there. If a murderer had to complete the same amount of paperwork before committing a crime as we have to in solving it, the crime figures would drop like a stone. Oh, you haven't touched your tea?
No.
Wise man, you must have been here before. Well, we won't hold you up much longer. Here's your statement, all typed.
Oh, where do I sign?
Just here, sir. Oh. Oh, but read it through first, in case we've made a mistake. We're not as infallible as our many fans make out, you know.
Yes, right, I've read it.
Anything you want to change?
No.
Fine, then. Sign here and I'll witness it. A good, bold hand, sir. That's what I like to see. Now, let me just have a quick look through it, and then I'll run you home. Insomnia? Out for a stroll? No, nothing about the crime. Never seen the dead man before. Yes, that's all in order, sir. It's a pleasure to deal with you. You know, some people come in here and tell us a tissue of lies, and we have to get them all typed out. Oh, well, mustn't forget to witness it. Yes?
Can you spare a minute, sir?
Oh, Jennings, sorry about your car. The wall was closer than I thought. I'll pay for the rear lamp.
Could you come outside, sir?
Oh, you can speak quite freely in front of Mr. Marlowe, Sergeant. He's just signed a statement absolving himself from any connection with the crime, and I've witnessed it.
We found the gun, sir.
Good man. That is good news, isn't it, Mr. Marlowe?
And ballistics have done a quick check. The gun and the bullet from the body match.
As indeed they should. Excellent. Any fingerprints?
No, sir. The killer must have worn gloves.
Oh, how annoying. Do you wear gloves, Mr. Marlowe?
No.
You should. It gets bitterly cold at night in these woods. Oh, but you know, don't you? You're insomnia. You're bursting to tell me something else.
I've checked the gun with records, sir. It was licensed. We know the owner.
Licensed? Ah, you're not the only honest person in the world, you see, Mr. Marlowe. And is the owner anyone we know, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Don't tell me. Let me guess. The chap who found the body. Weber, I'm always suspicious of people who walk in the woods at night. Oh, prison company accepted, of course, Mr. Marlowe. Am I right, Sergeant?
No, sir. It's registered in the name of Mr. Marlowe.
Oh, dear. It doesn't look as if you'll be going home quite as early as we'd hoped, Mr. Marlowe.
Look, better tell you the truth.
If you knew how much that helps us, sir, you'd like to make another statement, I suppose.
Yes, I suppose so.
The authorized version this time? Good. Lucky I asked the typist to hang on. I must have second sight or something. Off we go, then, Mr. Marlowe. Statement number two.
My wife shot him. He attacked her as she was coming home through the woods.
Police, Mrs. Marlowe. We've come to take you to the station.
Oh, I'll just get my coat.
Is my husband all right?
As far as I know, Mrs. Marlowe. Superintendent Bishop did phone you, didn't he?
Yeah, he phoned me. I'm ready. Shall we go?
Yes. Right you are. I'll tell him. Thank you. They're bringing Mrs. Marlowe in now, sir.
Good. If you could just sign this statement there, Mr. Marlowe. Usual place. Excellent. You're getting an old hand at this now.
What will happen to my wife? Will you keep her here?
Oh, for tonight, at least. If her story checks out, I don't think we'll oppose bail.
I'd like to get hold of my solicitor.
Oh, certainly. It's a bit late, though, isn't it?
He's a family friend.
Use this phone, Mr. Marlowe. Just tell them the number you want, and I'll get it for you.
Ah, thank you. Belton 492, please.
What time do they start serving breakfast in the canteen?
5 o'clock.
Oh, dear. Another 2 hours, I'm starving.
There should be someone there. Would you keep trying, please?
No luck, Mr. Marlowe.
No, he's not answering.
I'm not surprised. You phoned my solicitor at 5:01, he won't answer. Remember that time I tried to phone him, Sergeant, when I ran over that rotten woman's cat?
Hello, David. David Anakin. It's John. John Marlowe. Look, we're in trouble, David. It's Joan. She's killed a man. No, not the car. It was self-defense. Look, I can't explain now. Can you come on over? No, I'm at Norton Police Station. Detective Superintendent Bishop. Oh, thanks, David. You're a power.
All right, sir.
Yes, he's on his way.
Good. Let's hope he's a bit faster than most members of his profession. Oh, take it, Jennings.
Jennings? Oh, Abamo. Mrs. Marlowe is here, sir.
Number 2 interview room, Sergeant.
Take her to number 2, would you? Thank you.
Can't I see
her? Later, sir, after I've questioned her. Shouldn't take long. Hello, Mrs. Marlowe. I'm Detective Superintendent Bishop. We spoke earlier on the phone. Please sit down.
Thank you.
Would you like a cup of tea or anything?
No, thank you.
Right. Well, I suppose you know what this is all about.
You mentioned over the phone that a man named Bryant had been shot.
That's right. With your husband's gun. However, your husband's made a statement which we'd like you to confirm. What time did you go out this evening, Mrs. Marlowe? Back at last, Mr. Marlowe. Sorry for the delay, but we seem to have hit a slight snag.
A snag?
Yes, I've had a chat with your wife. Oh, do take a seat, Mrs. Marlowe. Oh. But her story doesn't quite fit in with yours. She tells me she didn't go out at all yesterday evening.
Didn't go out?
But that you did. About 11 o'clock, to meet a man in the woods. And you took your gun with you.
I don't believe you.
I'm not making it up, am I, Mrs. Marlowe?
I'm sorry, John. If only I knew what you wanted me to say.
I wanted you to tell them the truth.
I have told them the truth.
Would you mind turning out your pockets, Mr. Marlowe? We'll give you a receipt for anything we keep.
Oh, all right.
Have you cut yourself recently, Mr. Marlowe?
No, why?
I'd say that was blood on that handkerchief. Looks fresh. Get it over to the lab, Jennings.
It's Brian's blood. I mentioned it in my statement, Superintendent. It came off my wife's gloves.
The gloves you burned, you
mean?
Yes,
yes.
Mrs. Marlowe?
I've only got one pair of gloves, Superintendent. See, I'm wearing them.
Unburnt and unbloodstained. Now, this makes things a bit difficult, sir.
Why, Joan? Why are you doing this to me?
Don't worry, John. I'll stick by you.
Your solicitor for you, Mr. Marlowe.
John.
David, what kept you? I phoned you hours ago.
Sorry about that. Couldn't get the Richard car to start. I'll bang on the door when I want to come out, officer.
Right, sir.
Oh, this is a rotten mess, John. Cigarette?
No, thanks.
Well, I must have one. These places reek of disinfectant. I suppose they must get a lot of drunks and tramps. All right, John. Let's have it. I want the truth.
Have you read my statement?
I read both of them.
The second one is the truth.
Do you think it's wise trying to pin it onto Joan?
Wise or not, it's what happened. You don't believe me, do you?
If I believe you, then I'd have to believe that Joan would deliberately lie to get you accused of murder.
Perhaps I'd better get myself another solicitor.
Not after dragging me out of bed at 3 a.m, you don't. All right. Let's accept your second statement. Now, what sort of a case could the police make out against you?
A cast iron one.
No case is cast iron.
He was killed with my gun.
That's not proof that you fired it. You could have lost the gun weeks ago.
His blood on my handkerchief.
Oh, so you brushed against the body when you found it in the woods. And the dead man, Bryant, he was a complete stranger to you, wasn't he?
Yes.
Well then, why should you kill a complete stranger? No, the police haven't even got the beginning of a case against you.
Then why are they holding me?
Because you're all they've got at the moment. Don't worry. I'll get you out of here.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Anakin, but there's a couple of questions I'd like to ask Mr. Marlowe just to clear up one or two little points.
You won't mind if I stay, will you?
Not at all, sir. Well, are they treating you all right, Mr. Marlowe?
Yes, thank you.
Well, the lab tells us that the blood on the handkerchief isn't yours, sir. But it is the same group as the late Mr. Bryant.
It is Bryant's. I don't dispute it.
From your wife's gloves, which you burnt, of course.
It's always possible that Mr. Marlowe accidentally touched the body when he found it, Superintendent.
Sergeant Jennings is pretty sure he didn't, sir. But in any case, that would hardly account for the presence of blood on a handkerchief in his inside pocket, but none at all on his hand. Anyway, we've got Bryant's file from criminal records. Read us out his form, Jennings.
Con man, robbery with violence, blackmail, grievous bodily harm, more grievous bodily harm with a broken bottle, robbery with violence, malicious wounding.
No real harm in him, you see, just impishness. Anything else to his credit, Jennings?
Oh, plenty more of the same, sir. Nothing different.
Robbery with violence. He could have been trying to rob my wife.
I don't think so, sir. He wasn't a handbag snatcher. He was big time. Ammonia in the eyes of old ladies running sub-post offices. Now, you said you didn't know him, Mr. Marlowe.
That's right.
Then perhaps you could explain this. Chuck it over, would you, Sergeant?
There we are, sir.
Okay. Now, we got this from his pocket. It's Bryant's diary. Now, somewhere... Ah. What's your telephone number, Mr. Marlowe?
Belton 478.
Why would the dead man have written your telephone number in his diary, sir?
My telephone number? It can't be.
Take a look for yourself, sir.
Belton 478.
Puzzling, isn't it? Any explanation that might help?
No.
There's more, I'm afraid. Ah, here it is. The entry for today. Oh, well, yesterday now. Take a look at that.
Well, didn't we see, John? It isn't very clear.
Oh, I think it's very clear, sir. It says J.M. 1130. Now, who can J.M. be? I spy, with my little eye, someone beginning with J.M. John Marlowe.
No, it's not me.
11:30, sir, the time of your meeting with Bryant.
I didn't have a meeting. I didn't go out.
Of course not. You said so, didn't you, in one of your statements, the second or the first, I forget which. Ah, well, perhaps there's a simple explanation for these entries. If you think of anything that might help, let me know. In the meantime, I'll carry on with my investigations. Come on, Sergeant.
Beautiful cottage, isn't it, sir?
Like something out of Walt Disney. It only wants a few bluebirds with ribbons in their mouths to complete the picture. Too pretty for a murderer to live in. What a murderess. Ah, good morning, Mrs. Marlowe. We were just talking about you. Isn't it a glorious day? Good
morning, Superintendent.
You don't mind if we come in, do you? Oh, I hit your gatepost with my car up there. Loosened it a bit, I'm afraid. What a delightful house. In here?
Yes, please.
And what a charming room. Huh. Ah, that must be the famous fireplace where your husband did or did not burn your bloodstained gloves. Oh, and tropical fish. What a fascinating hobby. I used to keep them, you know.
Did you?
Yeah, lost the lot. The thermostat went wrong one night and the water boiled. Found a tank full of bouillabaisse the next morning. Can you fire a gun, Mrs. Marlowe?
Yes.
Oh, I suppose anyone can, just a question of pulling the trigger. Oh, I can smell coffee.
I've just made some. Would you like a cup?
Mrs. Marlowe, it's what my whole being is craving for.
I won't be a minute.
Right, Jennings, when she comes back, I'll keep her talking and you go and nose around the house. Looks like his study in there. As good a place as any to start.
Right, sir.
Oh, dear, they've got woodworm in that center beam. Can you see it? Just by the light. Oh, this is prompt service, Mrs. Marlowe.
It's already made. And there are a few cakes I've baked if you'd like to try one.
Delightful. Delightful.
I'm not much of a cook, I'm afraid. Sergeant?
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Marlowe. I'll take mine with me, if you don't mind.
With you?
He's going to take a little look around, Mrs. Marlowe. What? Nothing to worry about, just routine. Do you know there's a serpent in your Garden of Eden?
What do you mean?
You've got woodworm in that centre beam. Well, don't let's keep you, Sergeant.
Oh, right, sir. Mm.
Alone at last. I thought he'd never go. The middle beam, up there by the light.
Oh, yes, we've had it seen to. How's your coffee? It's a bit bitter, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's all right. It doesn't have to be good for me to enjoy it. Would this be the room you stayed in when you didn't go out last night?
Yes.
Delightful room. Did you watch television or listen to the radio?
I read a book.
Murder story?
A romance. Would you like to see it?
No, thanks. I'll leave this cake, if you don't mind, Mrs. Marlowe. I'm not as hungry as I thought. You know, your husband gave me the impression that he expected you to back up his story last night.
If I'd known what he wanted me to say, Superintendent, I'd have said it.
Yes, very loyal indeed. They haven't cured the trouble, you know.
Who?
The woodworm people. That wood dust means they're still active. Can you think of any reason why anyone would want to blackmail your husband, Mrs. Marlowe?
Blackmail?
Yes. Amongst his many other virtues, the late Mr. Bryant was a blackmailer. He might have been blackmailing your husband.
As far as I know, my husband has no guilty secrets.
Have you got any?
No.
Oh, then I'm the odd man out. That was very nice.
Would you like a second?
No, thank you. The memory of that one will last me a long time.
Excuse me, sir.
Ah, Sergeant, have you got any guilty secrets?
100, sir.
I thought so. You don't get shifty eyes like that for nothing. You found something.
Yes, sir, in the study.
Come on, Mrs. Marlowe, you can be a witness.
In the top drawer of the desk, sir.
You haven't drunk your coffee, Sergeant.
No, sir.
Knock it back quick and Mrs. Marlowe will give you a second one. Now, what have we here? Ah, a check.
And you see who it's made out to?
R. Bryant. Pay R. Bryant the sum of £1,000. Signed, John Marlowe.
What?
Oh, don't touch it, Mrs. Marlowe. We'll want it tested for fingerprints.
£1,000? Why should John want to give Bryant £1,000?
Well, unless Bryant was a woodworm exterminator in his spare time, it fits in nicely with our blackmail theory.
But if he was willing to pay the money, sir, why kill him?
Well, perhaps £1,000 wasn't enough for Bryant. But why, I guess I'm sure that if we ask Mr. Marlowe nicely, he'll explain. The check itself is typed, Mrs. Marlowe. Was that usual?
Yes, he typed most of his checks.
On this machine here, I'd imagine, sir. The type looks the same.
Well, the lab can verify it. We'll have to borrow this typewriter, Mrs. Marlowe.
Oh, if you must.
And the check, of course. Oh, hello. What's this?
A portable dictating machine. My husband brings a lot of work home from the office.
Something like the ones we use for our reports. Looks as though he's done a lot of letters.
I'm afraid I don't know.
Well, I won't mess about with it then in case I break it. I'm not very lucky with mechanical things.
Here's a receipt for the typewriter, Mrs. Marlowe.
Oh, you needn't have bothered.
Oh, things have to be done properly. Hello. Is that your wedding photo?
Yes.
Wonderful institution marriage. The two partners sticking together through thick and thin. Bryant wasn't blackmailing you, I suppose.
No, he wasn't.
Of course not. You didn't know him, did you? Like your husband. Sorry to be such a nuisance, Mrs. Marlowe. Don't bother. We'll see ourselves out.
I'm sorry, John. She refuses to come and see you.
Why is she doing this to me? What? Why is she lying?
Why, indeed.
A damn fine solicitor you are. You don't believe me, do you?
Not part of my job to believe my clients, old son, just to do my best for them.
She'd been seeing another man, you know.
Joan, I don't believe it.
She admitted it the night she shot Bryant. Mind you, I'd suspected it for some time.
Well, I always thought you and Joan were very happy.
We were at first. Oh, I suppose it was my fault. I was spending more time on the business than on her.
Had you thought of divorcing her?
I couldn't, even if I wanted to. I just got the business on its feet. It was hard work, but I did it. Trouble is, it's all Joan's money. I didn't have a penny when I married her. Even the house is in her name. If I divorced her, I'd lose the lot.
I see.
I suppose if I was sent to prison for life, she'd be able to divorce me for desertion or mental cruelty.
I don't really know, John. My partner handles what little divorce work we do. I can't really accept that Joan would go to these lengths just to get a divorce. Any idea who the man is?
No.
I'll make a few discreet inquiries. Might lead to something. Now, who's this?
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Superintendent.
I've just been taking coffee with your good lady wife, Mr. Marlowe. We found something of interest. Now, where did I... Now, if I remember correctly, sir, you tell us you didn't know the late, unlamented R. Bryant, Esquire.
That's right.
And yet you made him out this check for £1,000. We found it in your desk drawer.
You must believe me, Superintendent. I've never seen this check before.
It seems to be your signature, sir.
I don't dispute the signature.
Don't admit anything at this stage, John.
Well, why deny it? It's my signature. I always left a couple of ready-signed checks in my desk so my wife could settle any odd bills for me. This typing's been added afterwards.
The only fingerprints on it are yours, sir.
People have been known to wear gloves, Superintendent.
And to throw them on the fire, sir. Oh, yes, Jennings?
He's here, sir.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Marlowe, have you any objection to attending an identity parade?
An identity parade? Why?
You know this chap Weber, the other night walker, the man who found the body. He says he saw Bryant with another man in the woods the night before the shooting.
But it certainly wasn't me.
Well, then, here's your chance to prove it, sir. Weber's confident he'd recognize the man again.
Well, what do you say, David?
Why not? As long as I'm allowed to be present, Superintendent.
The more the merrier, sir.
All right. Then I'll do it.
Jolly good. All laid on, Jennings?
Ready and waiting, sir. If you'd all come this way, please. Right, gentlemen. If you could all form a line along here, please. Are you satisfied with that, Mr. Marlowe, or do you want to change the order?
I'm satisfied.
Then take your place where you like, sir.
All right.
Good. The rest of you, close up. Right. We're ready.
Right, Sergeant.
This way, Mr. Weber. Now take your time, sir. We're in no hurry.
Him.
Touch him, would you, sir, so there's no mistake. Thank you. Now, are you positive?
I'm positive. He was in the woods with the one who was killed.
He's lying. He's lying.
All right, sir, that'll do.
I tell you, he's lying. David, he's lying.
Thank you, gentlemen. That'll be all. Take Mr. Marlowe to the charge room, Constable.
The charge room?
Yes, sir. You're going to be charged with the murder of Robert David Bryant on or about the night of Wednesday, June the 17th.
But I've already
you
told
you. Have no need to say anything. But anything you do say will be taken down and made use of.
Visitor for Mr. Marlowe.
David.
Give me a shout when you're ready to come out, sir.
Right. Hello, John.
Hello, David.
Well, I think I've got your defense fixed up. I saw Sir Alfred Pelham this morning.
Pelham? Well, he's expensive, isn't he?
Expensive, but good. He's willing to take the case on one condition.
Condition?
He wants you to drop this story that your wife did the shooting.
But it's the truth.
It may be the truth, John, but it sounds like a lie. Pelham has had vast criminal trial experience. He says you'll end up antagonizing the jury if you try to put the blame on Joan.
And if I do what Pelham says, he can get me off.
Well, off the murder charge anyway. There's a lot of evidence we can't dispute. Your telephone number in Bryant's diary, the appointment for 11:30, the check. And if that wasn't enough, we've got Weber's identification. Pelham's pretty confident in getting the court to accept that you killed Bryant accidentally. He was blackmailing you.
But he wasn't.
He was blackmailing you. You had to meet him in the woods. You knew he was dangerous, so you took a gun to protect yourself. There was a struggle, and the gun went off accidentally.
No. If I can't get off by telling the truth, then let them find me guilty of murder. I'm not lying my way into a manslaughter charge.
Then we don't get Sir Alfred Pelham.
Somehow we've got to get Joan to tell the truth.
Tell me how, and I'll do it.
She was meeting another man that night. If only we knew who it was. David. David, I know who it was.
Who?
It all fits, of course.
Who are you talking about?
Webber.
Webber?
I was meant to go back for that gun. I was meant to walk smack into the police. Now, who phoned the police to make certain they'd be there waiting?
Webber.
Who identified me as a man seen talking to Bryant?
Webber.
You see?
It's an interesting theory.
Theory?
Well, where's your proof? What evidence can we offer to the court?
Evidence, evidence. David. David, would a tape recording be evidence?
What tape recording?
Well, I've just remembered. God, what a fool I've been. It's been there all the time. The night of the killing, when Joan came in, I was using the detaping machine from the office. I forgot to switch it off. It was recording all the time. Everything she told me about killing Bryant is on that tape.
Are you sure?
Yeah, the machine's on the desk in my study.
And it won't have been touched?
Yeah, no, Joan doesn't know how to work it. Now, listen, the controls are on the microphone.
Yes, I know how they work. We've got one in the office. Joan's staying with her mother, isn't she? She won't be there.
All the better. Look, you've got my spare key.
Yes. Now, keep your fingers crossed. With luck, you'll be out of here in a couple of hours. I'm ready, Constable. Dictating machine. Tape's fully wound on, so let's wind it back a bit and see what we've got. Try about here.
Memo to sales manager, copy to works engineer. Whilst last month's sales figures were encouraging, it is...
Try a bit further on.
And can assure you that the balance of your order will be fully up to specification. Yours sincerely, Managing Director. Next letter. Thank you, Joan.
David!
Joan! Well, I thought you were your mother's.
Well, I couldn't stand it there any longer. What are you doing?
Listening to a rather interesting recording. Listen.
Is there, John? Oh, turn it off.
Was recording all the time. It's enough to clear him and put you in prison in his place.
What are you going to do?
What do you think I'm going to do? I press the erase button, so. And erase everything off the tape. Yeah. Absolutely blank. Gone, never to return.
Oh, David.
All right, darling, all right. We're safe now. Thank goodness he told me and not the police. Poor John. He'll be so disappointed.
Over here, sir. I got here as quickly as I could. What's the position?
Anakin is still in there, sir, with Mrs. Marlowe. He arrived about half an hour ago.
That's very interesting. I wonder why. Just to look at the woodworm, perhaps? Hello. The downstairs light has gone out.
The upstairs light's gone on, sir. That'd be the bedroom.
I wouldn't have thought the woodworm had extended that far.
So Anakin's the boyfriend, sir. I thought it might have been Webber.
Webber? No, he's a bit too fond of a good cup of coffee to mess about with her.
Shall we go in, sir?
No, I want to question them separately. And I don't think there's much chance of that until morning. No, I'm going home. Ah, the bedroom light's gone out now. She must be showing him her holiday slides. I'll leave you to keep an eye on things, Sergeant. I'll be back in the morning to have a little chat with her. Sorry to bother you at this early hour, Mrs. Marlowe, but I just happened to be passing. Just a couple more routine questions.
Would you like some coffee?
No, thank you. You got your gatepost fixed, then?
Yes, the local gardener did it for me.
I thought you were staying with your mother.
Only for a few days. I came back yesterday.
Very brave of you to spend the night here, all alone. It must get very lonely. What time did Mr. Anakin go?
Mr. Anakin?
We've been keeping an eye on the place for your protection, of course. Where's the dictating machine? It was on this desk.
Mr. Anakin took it away.
So that's what he was carrying. We thought it was his overnight case. What did he want it for?
My husband asked him to pick it up. He thought there would be something on the tape to support his story.
But naturally, there wasn't.
The tape was blank. There was nothing on it at all.
Nothing. Not even the letters your husband had dictated?
Letters?
The spool was completely wound on when I saw it the other day, which usually means it was full up. But if you say it was blank, then blank it was. You've no reason to lie to me, have you? Had you known Bryant long?
Bryant?
You remember the dead man in the woods?
I didn't know him at all, I've told you.
We found this in his flat. It's your photograph, isn't it, Mrs. Marlowe? Do you still say you don't know him? J.M. 1130? That didn't stand for John Marlowe, did it? It stood for Joan Marlowe.
Yes.
Why don't you tell me all about it, Mrs. Marlowe, eh? The truth, this time.
Blank? Nothing on it at all.
Listen for yourself. Not a sausage. You must have erased it.
That was my last hope.
I know, John. I'm sorry.
Ah, so this is where you are, Mr. Anakin. How convenient. Do you own a white sports car?
Yes. Why?
I think I gave it a slight knock as I drove in, so nothing to worry about. A dab of white paint, it'll be as good as new. The tape was blank, I understand, Mr. Marlowe.
How did you know?
Your wife told me. I've just come from your house.
You didn't tell me Joan was there, David?
Oh, just for the night, sir. I expect she only stayed because she didn't want to leave Mr. Anakin there on his own.
All night? You stayed there all night?
Now, listen.
Oh, dear. I have been tactless. The last thing in the world I want to do is to cause a split-up between friends. It's a pity you didn't tell us about the tape, sir. It would have saved your friend the bother of erasing it.
I'd advise you to pick your words with care, Superintendent.
Much more carefully than your client picks his friends, eh? You know, framing a man you're supposed to be defending, even if he is your best friend, is sinking pretty low, even for a solicitor.
You're being deliberately defensive, Superintendent Bishop. I shall report this conversation verbatim to the Chief Constable.
Very well done, sir. Very well done. I'd really be worrying if I wasn't so sure of my facts. It's only fair to tell you that your girlfriend, Mrs. Marlowe, has finally decided to tell us the truth. She made a fresh statement half an hour ago. As it implicates you, Mr. Anakin, you'd better have a copy.
There were reasons, Superintendent. Good reasons.
You have plenty of time to tell them to us, sir. Plenty of time. Jennings.
Sir.
Take Mr. Anakin up to the charge room, would you? I'll be along in a moment, after I've had a few words with Mr. Marlowe.
This way, please, Mr. Anakin.
My best friend.
We get the friends we deserve, I think, sir. And you certainly didn't deserve any better.
What do you mean?
What I mean, sir, is that you hired Bryant to kill your wife. To lay in wait for her in the woods and kill her as she returned home.
What?
Unfortunately, your wife was nervous. She'd seen Bryant lurking about before, so she took a gun with her, and she used it. You must have had the shock of your life when she came walking in that night. You were expecting Bryant to come for his £1,000.
Oh, this is nonsense.
We've got plenty of proof, sir. Including this.
My wife's photograph.
The one you sent to Bryant. So he could identify whom he had to kill.
You've no proof I sent it.
You had enough sense not to include a covering letter, sir, agreed. But when we found it, it was still in its envelope. And the envelope was addressed to Bryant in your handwriting. Blackmailers never throw away anything that might prove profitable in the future. That £1,000 wouldn't have been the last payment he'd have demanded for his services.
Yes. I'd have a job to explain the envelope, wouldn't I?
And we've also got Weber's evidence. He saw you talking to Bryant the previous night.
That damned man, if he hadn't stumbled across the body so soon, I'd have got away with it.
The sad thing is, none of it was necessary. Your wife was telling the truth when she said she'd chucked up her boyfriend. She'd finished with Anakin that night and was going to stick by you and keep her money and your precious business. But when you went out to look for the gun...
I left the wretched check on my desk. Bryant's check.
Yes. As soon as she learned the dead man's name was Brian, she put two and two together and decided to change her story, which left you in a cleft stick. The only way out of it was to admit to us that you had hired Brian to kill your wife. You'd like to make another statement, I suppose?
Yes, I suppose so.
Number three, if my memory serves me correct. Come on, then. Oh, and if I were you, sir, I'd get another solicitor.
In Cleft Stick by R.D. Wingfield, the part of Detective Superintendent Bishop was played by Douglas Blackwell. Detective Sergeant Jennings, Anthony Vickers. Joan Marlowe, Diana Olson. John Marlowe, Vernon Joyner. David Anakin, Rolf Lefevre. Police Constable, Anthony Hall. Weber, Sam Dastor. The play was produced by David H. Godfrey.